This podfic contains adult material of a sexual and graphic nature. Listener discretion is advised, and be mindful of the tags. Feel free to hop out of the back seat if that's not your thing. Dean won't hold it against you. More than likely, he or Sam or some other SBN character or any number of character combinations will be too busy holding other things against others to give it a second thought. If you've buckled up and are ready for the drive, please check your Bluetooth connections and/or plug in those headphones before the engine starts. By proceeding, you understand that idling in the Impala is not responsible for any embarrassment, cringe, or adverse consequences that may occur as a result of the listener failing to conduct these checks. Oh My Chuck, by Imagination Creation. Rating is explicit. No archive warnings apply. Category is male-male. Fandom is supernatural. Relationship, Dean Winchester / Sam Winchester. Characters, Dean Winchester, Sam Winchester, God, Chuck Shirley. Additional tags, humor, first time, first kiss, sibling incest, crack treated seriously, curses, accidental voyeurism, Chuck Shirley is God, blowjobs, jealous Dean Winchester, top Dean Winchester / bottom Sam Winchester, God, Chuck Shirley being an asshole, kinda, convenient amnesia, gay bar, forced voyeurism, dubious ethics, possessive Dean Winchester, bisexual Sam Winchester, Dean Winchester's first time with a man, protective Dean Winchester, Dean Winchester loves Sam Winchester, Chuck Shirley is not God, payback, spells and enchantments, masturbation interruptus, brother/brother incest. Summary. The first time it had happened, it wasn't shocking. It wasn't all that unusual. It was just unexpected, out of the blue. He'd always had flashes of the Winchester brothers, always could check in with them whenever he was bored. They were Chuck's favorite of all of his creations. The sudden yet abrupt psychic connection was never something he intentionally made happen. It just did. Or the time Chuck became fed up after suddenly having visions of the Winchester brothers anytime they say a sentence with the word God in it. It started innocently enough, hustling pool or Sam teasing Dean over his unhealthy food choices, but after they began taking part in extracurricular activities, Chuck has to put an end to it. So he does. Notes. First fic in about 12-ish years. Hope you enjoy it. Don't take it too seriously. There are probably massive plot holes, and I don't know where to place this in the series. This is meant to be a bit of a crack fic, so don't think too much about it. LOL. Just enjoy the silliness. Also, may have missed out some tags. If you pick up any I should add, let me know, and I'll add. Any glaring mistakes are my own fault. I've tried to fix any errors, but may have missed a couple. The first time it had happened, it wasn't shocking. It wasn't all that unusual. It was just unexpected, out of the blue. He'd always had flashes of the Winchester brothers, always could check in with them whenever he was bored. They were his favorite of all of his creations. The sudden yet abrupt psychic connection was never something he intentionally made happen. It just did. And he started to notice a pattern. One of those pesky side effects from being one of the most powerful beings that ever had existed. Maybe he had inadvertently created some kind of cosmic connection trigger from checking in on them so often while writing as Carver Edlund. Like a prayer that made a beeline to his awareness, despite the fact he had put a stop to those millennia ago. Humans were needy, greedy, chaotic, self-obsessed little creatures who for the most part never actually knew what would make them truly happy, which made most of the prayers that would constantly assault his consciousness boring. Unimportant in the grand scheme of this universe. Which is why Chuck had blocked the torrent of whiny, selfish prayers from flooding his mind. He was sick of their monotony. They were wasting their time anyway. He gave them free will. If he intervened, it would be counterproductive. Besides, you start granting one person's prayers, then you have to start showing up more and more. Humans were not good at keeping miracles to themselves. He kind of missed dinosaurs. Surprisingly, they were a far more successful creation. 165 million years, They roam the earth, and despite being ridiculous on their bases, 100,000 pounds of reptilian beast that had a brain, sure, but it wasn't capable of complex thought or an imagination. They couldn't create like humans could, but this meant they also weren't capable of same level of destruction either. In all their time on Earth, they never caused the amount of chaos and ecological damage as his humans. Looking back, dinosaurs were a fun time. An easier time. You think they ever bitched or complained about being starving or jealous of the brontosaurus next door? Hell, they didn't even complain when they were diseased or that time Chuck had been busy brainstorming his next genius creation, humans. Sure, his attention was stolen briefly for a bit, but to be fair, he was never expecting a meteor that big to strike Earth. After that little blunder, he completely lost interest and stopped paying attention for a while as he began considering plans for the next creatures that would be a greater form of entertainment. More drama and far deeper characters that Chuck was sure would hold his attention better. This connection to the brothers, though, this was different compared to previously, but it wasn't strange by any means. He will never forget the first time they had surprised him by forcing themselves into his awareness. It had literally hit him, hard into his mind's eye, right in front of him, like a movie playing out from a projector, looking as though it had been whitewashed and faded, but right there. Sam and Dean were down at a local bar. Sam leant over a pool table, a small crowd gathered of noisy spectators around them. The older of the brothers trying to play the role of the sober and responsible of the two Winchesters, ironically, as he was rarely either, while the taller yet younger of the pair slurs his words, tripping over his own unnaturally large feet, hustling poor, unsuspecting people out of their hard-earned cash. Chuck wasn't sure why he was seeing this now. He paused a moment, sat back, and just enjoyed this little mini clip. It made him miss writing the Winchester Gospels, checking in with their exploits, and sharing their adventures with the small fan base that had grown around the series, evolving by itself, a life of its own. "Oh, for God's sake, Sammy, you can't be serious. You can't even see straight. Let's not be stupid here," Dean says, laying on the fake concern thick as he tugs at the worn flannel sleeve of his brother. Sam, responding as if they were in the midst of a thoroughly rehearsed high school play, shoves his hand into his pocket and slaps down two large bills onto the table, staring at his opponent with a challenging glare, stumbling a little and looking questioningly at the spot on the floor as if it had purposely reached out and grabbed his shoe. Chuck chuckles. They've gotten good at this game of playing the crowd around them. "Dean, shut up. Just relax, okay? Everything will be fine. I'm not that drunk." Sam gestures for the other man to take the first shot, which he does, and pockets a single ball, looking smugly back up at them both. As he goes to line up his next shot, his focus leaves the two men who are about to ring him for what he is worth. Sam and Dean flick a slight smirk at one another, quickly wiping it from their faces before his turn is over and his attention is back on them. Their opponent was a somewhat decent player, but he hadn't been playing since he was as young as these two, nor did he have the aim that they did. Sam makes a show of uncoordinatedly stalking around the table, looking for a shot, steadying himself a little on the pool table and blinking, a little theatrically, as if to clear his double vision before leaning down, and with one calculated strike of the white ball, pockets two of his own. Chuck knows what is going to happen. It isn't anything new. They're going to win, and the other idiot will be either shocked someone as drunk as Sam could win, pissed off that they were tricked, and or humiliated. All of these scenarios usually resulted in their opponents starting a fight, which Sam and Dean both knew they'd win, but for the sake of the other person, the Winchester brothers would make a grab for the cash and bolt out the door, laughing as they made their way back to their no-tell motel. He had seen this happen hundreds of times. He flicks his wrist, clearing the connection to the brothers, and continues to go about his evening, sending meteors flying through the dark expanses of universe to collide with the sun, the condensed space junk disintegrating in the blink of an eye. This was one of those things that Chuck found calming and enjoyable, like his own version of bowling. The next time Chuck is hit with the unexpected vision of Sam and Dean, they're sitting in a cheap mom-and-pop's diner, menus in hand, Dean excitedly pointing at the special. Double bacon, triple cheeseburger supreme. With a gleeful smile. Sam rolls his eyes with a grimacing scowl on his face, looking back to his own menu, shaking his head slightly. Oh my God, seriously? Dean, are you purposefully trying to give yourself a heart attack? That thing is absolutely going to block your arteries. Chuck smiles. While Sam has a point, Chuck wouldn't let Dean go down from a measly heart attack. Dean's face drops, his eyebrows knitting, lips drawn down in a comically offended pout, looking like a kid who has just dropped his triple scoop ice cream onto the dirty ground before he even had a chance to enjoy it. Personally, something that never failed to make Chuck laugh when he was blessed with the chance of witnessing such a moment. Hey, we saved the world. If I want to get the double bacon, triple cheeseburger supreme, I will, and I won't let nobody stop me. Oh my fucking God, Sam shrieks. He had come back to their motel room, recent newspapers, and scanned pages from the local town's public records, stacked, gripped, and balanced in one arm as he had awkwardly dug his keys from his back pocket and opened the door to their latest rented room. The printed pages dropping and scattering over the carpet, cupping his hand over one side of his face, covering his eyes and turning his head away from the view of Dean draped over his bed, one leg bent at the knee, foot resting on the bed, and the other leg sprawled out, dangling off the side, sock-covered foot on the floor, splayed wide open, one hand jerking himself off. Tacky porn is playing out from Sam's laptop speakers. Dude, I swear to fucking God, jerking off has never counted as research. What the hell? Is this all you've done while I've been at the goddamn library? And Sam absolutely doesn't whine, and if he does, it's understandable. Last time Dean used his laptop for porn, it took him a week and a half to remove the malware and stubborn pop-ups that had invaded his operating system.
Might not be research, Sammy, but it is my version of self-care. A relaxation. Don't be a prude. Should've just knocked.
Dean shrugs, cocking his bent knee down and across his lap, providing himself with a little decency.
So help me God, Dean, if you have gotten any more viruses on my laptop, I will kill you.
Chuck laughs, shaking his head and sighing a little. Ah, brothers. As if watching another episode of his favorite sitcom. It's a couple of days later when it happens again. Chuck was sitting at the highest summit on Mount Everest, invisible from any human that may make it to the top. He always found it fascinating the amount of people that would risk their lives to conquer this death trap. Humans continuously made him sigh with exasperation. But the view from up here is beautiful, so he guesses that he can kind of empathize why thousands of people have attempted it, although he wasn't impressed with the environmental impact they have made on this piece of land since the first ego-driven human climbed it in the 1950s. The frozen bodies of past climbers was almost like the mountain's own form of revenge-themed decor for the tons of garbage and literal crap left along its path and inside of the caves. She wasn't something to consider lightly, as she could be quick to strike and wipe out climbers who weren't properly prepared for her cold-hearted brutality.
Good God, Sam, why? Can't we just sit in the car outside and wait for something to happen?
Dean whines, pulling the hem out as Sam bats his hand away.
Stop it, he admonishes. It's meant to be that way. It's suffocating, dude. It's too tight.
Dean continues to complain. No. We can't just sit in the car. The curse is happening inside the club, which means... Sam hints, tipping his head to the side, knowing Dean knows the answer. Dean sighs defeated.
Hex bags.
Sam nods, opening up the plastic shopping bag and setting the handful of items on the bathroom sink. It's just a club. It's got you all tense. We're just going to go in, scope the place, and try and find the hex bags. Can't let another weekend go by without investigating this.
I'm not used to this kind of getup, and you can forget putting glitter on me. Fuck that shit. I'm not opposed to some glow sticks, but I draw the line at glitter.
Yeah, well, we gotta fit in, Dean. And your stained Zeppelin shirt, flannel and oversized jacket just isn't going to cut it. Sam smirks at Dean, enjoying his brother's discomfort a little too much.
10 deaths and 2 sexual assaults over 3 consecutive weekends. Drug overdoses, alcohol poisoning, violent fights and attacks. There's something about this place that is making people lose their mind, forget their limits, and they're dying from it. Wouldn't you like to stop it? Dean grits his teeth, turning and looking at himself in the mirror, absolutely not pouting, but unimpressed. He knew he was fit enough, muscled in the right places for a shirt this tight to look appealing. Hell, even hot. But it was completely different to his usual comfortable, worn soft layers that he was used to covering himself up in. God knows where the hell this goddamn hex bag is. Dean mumbles to himself, and Chuck is once again witness to the Winchester's unusual life, projecting itself in front of him. The older of the two is clearly frustrated and over it. Music is thumping, almost deafening. The space they're in is dark, colored strobe lights cutting through the darkness and flooding the space for just a fraction of a second before blinking out again. There are too many people, dressed tightly in their own party attire, body glitter reflecting the overhead lights while glow sticks highlight the people that are wearing them. Too many bodies, moving toward the dance floor, like moths to a flame, to merge as one mass, undulating and writhing and abashed against whoever is closest, only separating to the bar for more alcohol, go to the bathroom to relieve their bladder, perhaps the ache between their legs with someone they had just met, or likely to take another hit of whatever they had snuck in. Even though Dean had let himself have a few drinks prior to coming out and a few more to top it off and release the tightness in his back and shoulders, he didn't want to stick out, but he had an unrelenting feeling that while he looked similar to the other guys who were populating the club, that everyone knew he wasn't here to just have a good time, and that made him even more uncomfortable. A scowl kept creeping up and twisting his features, encouraging him to order another whiskey. Unsure if it was just his unhealthy coping mechanism or the curse that had been smothering people's inhibitions, causing him to want to throw back shot after shot, drink after drink. He needed a breather. He needed to feel the cool night air on his clammy, warm skin. He motioned toward the barkeeper to signal another refill. He hadn't seen Sam amongst the crowd for a while and wondered if he had managed to find some secluded areas of the club to look for those stupid hex bags. Dean decided once he'd downed the contents of his glass, he'd try to pinch a smoke from someone outside. He felt like he couldn't breathe from the sweltering heat generated from the collection of dancing bodies, slip-sliding against one another, the communal panting from the men mindlessly lost in the rhythmic pulsating of the music, almost creating a condensation made from sweat on every flat surface in the room. It had been a few years since Dean had indulged in smoking, but his body, his lungs, his brain, every atom in him was just screaming for the burning, soothing comfort of tobacco. He knew his little brother hated it, but his skin felt too tight with the physical ache of the craving. After he had emptied his glass, the next thing Dean's bleary eyes managed to focus in on was his little brother in a darkened corner, a crooked smile and half-lidded eyes, resting his back against a wall, off to the side of the bar, in a world of his own. The glitter smeared onto the skin exposed by the deep V-neck, skin-tight shirt he's wearing, mingled with the beads of sweat pooling on his collarbone, illuminates his tanned skin dripping down underneath the shirt's low collar. A stranger with bleached blonde hair, standing right in Sam's personal space, pressed in a little too close, lifted up on his tiptoes to reach the height of Sam's ear. One hand splayed wide across his brother's chest as he leaned all the way in, holding Sam back into the solid brick behind him, his other hand wrapped lightly around the exposed jut of Sam's hip bone, where his shirt had found itself rolled up from being at least two sizes too small, stretched obscenely across his broad shoulders and chest, whispering who the hell knew in Sam's ear as his thumb strokes down toward the exposed waistband of Sam's briefs. Dean hadn't known why he had felt a rush of heat flush his face, his pulse picking up and contending with the music spilling out of the club speakers. He wasn't quite sure what he was feeling. If questioned, he'd swear it was just protectiveness, but any other spectator might have guessed possessiveness. He found himself weaving through the crowd, shoving himself between his brother and the handsy little bastard who was tight against him, barely enough space for Dean to squeeze through, ignoring the guy's protest before shooting him a bone-chilling glare that promised pain he never knew could exist, couldn't even imagine, if he tried to resist before dragging Sam out of the club with a bruising hold on his forearm. His younger brother stumbles and trips over his feet, trying to keep up as they rounded the corner of the club into a dim, softly lit alleyway. Dean swings Sam around his body toward the wall behind them, and Sam almost bounces off the brick wall as he makes harsh contact with it. For God's sakes, Dean, what the hell? Sam stammers, a little flustered, trying to catch his breath. Chuck wasn't surprised to see the Winchester brothers butting heads once again. He knows Dean had some intensely repressed issues revolving around homosexuality that was too twisted up and filled with self-doubt, confusion, shame, and revulsion. He wasn't all that surprised to see Dean struggling to identify his emotions and confront the situation he had witnessed inside involving Sam. He swipes his hand nonchalantly, bored, seeing the Winchesters arguing and throwing punches wasn't interesting to him. Once again, the washed-out scene of the Winchester boys was in front of him. Chuck glares, annoyed at the visual again. Dean was unstable, fingers twisted in Sam's shirt, the material inching halfway up his torso. You seriously going to let some guy just feel you up in front of everyone like it's his God-given right? You that much of a slut, huh? Sam squints slightly, obviously confused. For the love of God, Dean. The guy was a regular, and I asked him if he had seen anything weird. Sam laughs, dry and devoid of humor in Dean's face. Are you seriously freaking out over a little light petting when we were inside a cursed gay bar? Really? He says incredulously. Who the hell are you to tell me who can and can't flirt with me? Sam tries to dislodge Dean's grip on him, but they had both drank a little more than necessary on this case they'd meant to be focusing on. Dean was using his younger brother as leverage, while also keeping a punishing hold on him. Dean's jaw clenches tight, teeth creaking, almost splintering under the tight pressure. What would you have done if I hadn't interrupted, Sam? God only knows what could have happened to you in there. Sam scowls and shakes his head. I didn't need saving, you jerk. My God. He spits. Did you ever once consider that maybe I wasn't offended? Maybe that I kind of liked it? And that snatches Chuck's attention, his glare quickly evolving into a curious surprise, a little coming out moment between the brothers. Interesting. He knew they both had secrets to acknowledge and accept, and others he hopes they never would realize. Chuck had wondered what it would take and how long before it would happen. God forbid you take your head out your ass for 2 minutes. You might have realized that I'm into guys, as much as I'm into women. Ever think about that? Dean's lip curls, his face pinching, and he isn't exactly sure what Sam sees in his eyes, but before he can even think about it, he's stepping closer, pressing himself and his lips against Sam's, fingers curling tighter into his shirt, holding him unmoving against the exterior of the club as he supports his own body weight against his brother's. Chuck sucks in a gasp, frantically sweeping his hands through the vision of the two heroes of his favorite universe pressed against one another, desperately trying to disperse it. He wasn't surprised. While he had never wanted to accept the tiny little part he knew existed in both of his characters, he also knew it would make their lives, their jobs, their entire existence far more complicated for them if they did acknowledge it. They were already emotionally completely wrapped up and more than a little deranged over one another, constantly sacrificing themselves, going against the balance of nature, life and death, for the other, over and over again. Making terrible decisions, risking their own lives if it meant the other might have just a second or two of peace, let alone being involved sexually together. As much as Chuck hated to admit it, Zachariah was right. They were psychotically, irrationally, erotically codependent on each other. God damn it, Dean. Sam mumbles between them the moment Dean breaks away from him, sucking in a breath, cupping the side of Dean's face before cocking his head further to the side to allow better access and bringing their lips together again, nudging his brother's lips open with soft swipes of his tongue and reveling the moment Dean surrenders, unravels for his younger brother to delve deeper, moans for either of the two just managing to slip between them in the short seconds they suck in a breath before dragging themselves back together. Oh, Jesus Christ. Chuck hisses as he continues to do his best to disintegrate the psychic connection. See, this right here, this is what is wrong with free will. He rubs his hand over his face, pushing into his eyes, wondering if it's possible to wipe his own memory altogether. I think I'm going to need a drink myself, or several, 100. After the fiasco of the Winchester brothers being shot and ending up in heaven a few years prior, Chuck had realized that there was something different about their relationship when they had shared the experience together. Something that was reserved only for soulmates. Chuck hadn't been entirely sure what that meant in relation to Sam and Dean, but he knew they weren't just brothers. Their souls had been connected on a deeper, much more intimate level, so in the back of his mind, he waited with bated breath to see what that exactly meant. It's a little over a week before Chuck was disturbed again. Ever since the last time, he felt constantly tense, fidgety, and on guard, unsure when and what he was going to have to witness next. Oh God, Dean. Oh my God, fuck. Ugh. Please, God, don't stop. Ugh. Chuck groans, pissed off at being exposed to their intimate moments again. He didn't care they had them, just didn't need to have a front row seat for it all the time. He thought they were supposed to be fighting monsters and the evil forces around them. Seemed every moment that they weren't in public, they were tangled together, moaning obscenities and calling out for God. It was becoming exhausting. Didn't they ever get chafed or sore? Thankfully, it was dark again, but Chuck could clearly make out the combined sounds of Sam panting, the slick, wet sounds of skin on skin, as well as another man gagging and spluttering. He attempts to block it out like a child being forced to watch a horror movie, eyes tightly shut, fingers in his ears, but it did nothing, the vision playing out behind his eyelids.
Holy Mother of God, Sam. You gotta hold your horses a little.
Dean swallows thickly.
You're gonna end up choking me if you're not careful. My God.
He rasps, throat and voice raw. Sam does his best to gasp in air, to calm himself, like Dean had managed to suck the oxygen out of his lungs directly from his dick.
Dear God, Dean, sorry, I couldn't help it. Just so good. I can feel you like rutting yourself against the bed while you blow me.
Sam groans.
It's just so fucking hot, I swear to God.
He mutters.
You like feeling me hold you still and fuck those pretty lips of yours? Oh my God, I could almost just come from watching you like this.
Oh, come on. Chuck yelled to no one but himself. He'd become annoyed at this before the gay incestuous fucking, but the Winchester boys constantly calling out his name while they were having sex was quickly getting old. Their little adventures had been amusing at first, but now he needed to make it stop. An idea hit him. He knew it would out his cover as the Prophet Chuck, but he needed to somehow make this psychic connection to these brother-fucking boys stop. He could just cause a little mischievous chaos between them, and once they were taught their lesson, he could wipe their memory and be done with it.
You gonna fuck me, Dean?
Sam whispers against Dean's ear, tonguing around the soft shell, nuzzling his cheek as he was straddled over his brother's hips, naked, prepped, and more than willing. Dean couldn't think of anything better. Since that first night outside the cursed club, they had quickly progressed from long, languid sessions making out, lying together in one of their motel beds, legs entwined, slow rolls of their hips until they were each coming, spilling themselves across the sheets and each other, to hand jobs and blow jobs, and after one raining night when it was too wet to go dig up a grave for a salt and burn gig, they had ordered in takeaway, drank a little bit too much, and ended the night with Dean's fingers covered in spit and lube, pushed up inside of Sam, his stomach covered in warm, white streaks of cum from two orgasms after Dean had located his prostate and wanted to see the kind of effect it had on someone when it was massaged and relentlessly stimulated. Sam had been moaning, back arching, legs outstretched and taut, fighting against the urge to clamp his thighs shut from being oversensitive, and Dean knew that the motel walls were thin. They could possibly have the police called for a noise violation or for a welfare check, with the noises Sam had made, which meant Sam's mouth had been stuffed with a pair of his own briefs. Wouldn't want to be interrupted. That also meant there was no curses, no pleading to any kind of deity. All Sam could do was make muffled gasps, moans, and needy whimpers while Dean had toyed with him again and again. But now Dean was slick and hard, positioned at Sam's entrance, as Sam rolled his hips, teasing his hard length through the crack of his little brother's cheeks.
Oh, hell.
Dean groans, head pressed hard back into the flimsy pillow, hips bucking of their own volition. He threads his fingers through Sam's hair and locks mouths with him, tongues searching for the other urgently and eagerly.
You ready for me?
Sam asks, heat-filled stare connecting with Dean, who smothers his whimper by gripping his lip between his teeth, nodding, not trusting himself to speak, knowing how likely he is to start babbling and say something that will embarrass the both of them. Dean can feel the hot, tight heat of his brother's entrance give way as his cockhead breaches Sam's body. If he was struggling to keep his hips still when his younger brother seemed to be interested in making Dean literally lose his mind. Sam's jaw drops open, strangling the attempted groan that he desperately wanted to make, hands curling around Dean's shoulders, nails digging in.
You all right? Just go slow, Sammy.
Dean grits out. Those words are torture to say, desperately craving to shove into that addictive vice enveloping his length, thankfully with just enough control and clarity of mind to consider the damage that he could do without due care.
Oh, fuck, Dean.
Another inch and a half slides in, and Dean is almost sweating from the effort to lie still. Sam's head drops between his shoulders, trying to breathe through the intensity. Not painful, but a low burning stretch that feels like it's directly attached to every single nerve, electrifying and lighting him up from the inside. Too much, not enough. Oh fuck, almost there. Sam circles his hips, doing his best to continue the slow controlled descent to bottom out. It's maddening and so good in the most nerve-wracking way. Both men groan as soon as Sam's ass is seated against Dean's pelvis. He squeezes Sam's thighs, fingertips turning white from the pressure before he forces himself to release his hold, trailing his palms encouragingly against the soft, pale skin there.
I know I said go slow, but if you don't move or do something soon, I think I could actually die.
Dean says between shuddering, uneven, panting breaths. Sam would laugh. His first instinct is to poke fun at Dean's suggestion to go slow 1 minute and telling Sam to hurry up the next, if it wasn't for his body's own need to move, thrust, and fuck himself into a mindless mess.
Oh, Chuck, Dean.
Sam whimpers, and it takes his brain a minute through the haze of need for him to realize what had slipped out of his mouth. Dean's eyes, which had been fluttering shut, snaps open wide.
Did you just say, what the hell, Sam?
And Sam stills, just as mortified, face flushing, a red color rising up his chest and into his cheeks.
Did you just say what I think you did?
Dean asks, shocked.
Did you just say
what? No, I didn't. That wasn't what I meant to say, he thinks. Doesn't know why the hell that came out. He hadn't been thinking of the short-bearded prophet at all. Had no idea why or how that managed to come out. But he tries to forget it and move on, shaking his head trying to literally force it out of his mind. He grips the headboard of their bed and lifts, then sinks, biting his lip brutally out of fear to let anything slip from his mouth again.
Yeah, Sammy. Oh, fuck. Oh, my fucking Chuck.
And just as quickly as the name entered the space between them, Dean slaps his hand hard over his mouth.
Did you just say Chuck as well?
Sam asks hesitantly.
What? No. Hell no. I said, oh my Chuck.
Dean flinches, blinking repeatedly.
No, I meant.
He takes his time trying to carefully pronounce the word he had in mind. Chuck. He slaps a hand back over his mouth.
Fuck. What the fuck? Why can't I say Chuck?
Are you trying to say? Sam stalls a moment trying to work out how to say a word that refuses to be said.
C-H-U. Oh, for Chuck's sake.
He breathes out a ragged breath. Why can't I even spell it? What the hell is going on?
Chuck, damn it.
Dean rolls his eyes.
Oh, what the hell? Why? What is going on, Sam? Why can't we say Chuck?
He growls and begins to sit up.
Just stop. I can't. We gotta stop. Not like this. The last thing I want to be doing is saying that little dweeb's name when we... well.
He gestures between the both of them as if that could sum it up without actually saying it.
I'm going soft so quickly, it might actually shrivel up and disappear.
Sam nods, gently lifting himself up, pulling himself off, and sits next to his brother. Face pale from shock, confusion, embarrassment, but at least feeling a little better that Dean couldn't say that word that he kept trying to say either. Something is clearly wrong. Something had obviously happened. Sam picks up his briefs after trying to remember where exactly they had been discarded in their haste to wrap themselves around one another and puts them on before searching for his mobile. He knew he still had Chuck's number in, saved among his contacts, and he needed to know why they are suddenly saying his name every time they try to say anything with God in the sentence. He hoped it was just a mistake, just a stupid spell gone wrong. He didn't exactly know what to think, but he hoped there was a way to fix it. Dean gets up gingerly, a little disturbed and unsettled, and goes into their small bathroom, shutting the door behind him, turning the tap on, splashing his face to try to ground himself. Sam is pacing by the time Dean reappears, phone up to his ear as the monotonous dial tone rings. Dean looks bitter, self-conscious, and more than a little confused. He hated being in the middle of getting down and dirty and having to pull the reins back. It's one of his biggest pet peeves, instantly shitty anytime it happened, which was thankfully rare.
So help me, Ch.
Dean cuts himself off, jaw clenching before he releases a frustrated yell.
If he has done something to fuck with us, I'm gonna kill him.
He promises. Sam places his finger against his mouth, telling Dean to be quiet. I can barely hear the phone, just calm down. Get me a piece of paper and a pen, will you? I need to test something. Dean grabs a receipt from their last gas stop and digs around his duffel for a pen, setting them on the little table in front of their window in their motel room. He puts on a pair of track pants that had caught his eye and sits at the foot of their bed, head resting in his palms. Sam balances the phone on his shoulder, gripping it with his cheek as he listens to the dial tone, hoping that he hadn't changed his number. Come on, he murmurs tightly under his breath, not wanting to show Dean a hint of frustration. Sam grips the pen and scribbles the letters G-O-D on the back of their receipts and triumphantly holds it up to show Dean, who nods sarcastically at it like he's been shown a terribly drawn cartoon horse scribbled by a 4-year-old, offering his brother a half-hearted and somehow even more sarcastic thumbs up that, really, feels more like he's flipping Sam off. The dial tone rings and rings, then rings some more, and just as Sam is about to punch the button to end their call, a breeze sweeps through their room. Sam and Dean both look up and see, speak of the devil, Chuck, standing in the middle of their room, looking a little awkward himself, turning so he is standing side on between the two Winchesters, hands raised as if preempting the guns that he had guessed correctly would be aimed in his direction. Not that it would do any good.
What the fuck, Chuck?
Dean starts, more frustration than is completely necessary.
Chuck, damn it, Chuck. What in Chuck's name have you done?
So help me, Chuck. Sam grinds his teeth, hand pressing against his forehead, then sweeping back into his hair.
For fuck's sake, so help me. We will kill you if you don't tell us what the hell is causing this stupid shit.
Sam lifts his hand, attempting to signal to Dean to let him handle it.
Chuck, what is going on?
Why can't we say the word? He lifts his receipt with the scribbled word God written on it. Why? Is it hindering your extracurricular brotherly activities? The tense silence in the room is deafening. Dean makes a choked sound that almost sounds like he swallowed his own tongue in shock, and Sam basically stops breathing. Chuck can hear both their pulses and blood pressure skyrocket.
What? What the hell are you talking about? There's no...
Chuck rolls his eyes. Save it. Unfortunately, for the last month or so, I have been witness to every single time you have called out for God. Sam is staring into space, eyes no longer on Chuck, his brain working overtime trying to connect the dots. At first, it wasn't a problem, but then you two started to get, let's say, handsy, and I'm not talking about sparring. Chuck uses finger quotations for the last word and looks pointedly at Dean, raising his eyebrows. The club? The one that was cursed?
Where you got all jealous and possessive when someone dared touch and flirt with your Sam?
The color of Dean's face drains. He looks clammy, breaking eye contact with Chuck. He'd felt sick, nauseous, mortified and embarrassed, caught out. His jaw looks like it's operating on a loose hinge, opening and shutting in quick succession, trying to rack his brain for an explanation, a denial, a dismissal, Hell, a smart-ass comeback, but nothing. You know how embarrassing it is when the most my humans call out to me now is either pain, anger, or when one of them has their ankles around their ears? What the hell are you talking about, Chuck? Sam asks. It doesn't matter. You're not going to remember this. Let's just cut down on the whole chanting God thing while you two are, well, you know. And while you're at it, either take it in turns to ruffle both beds to at least give the impression you're using one each, or just accept it and save the double rooms for people who need it, you know? You perverted bastard. You've been spying on us? Nuh-uh. I don't know what happened, but you two just started appearing to me. First time was when you were hustling pool a few weeks ago. Trust me. You can believe me when I tell you I was deeply uncomfortable having to witness some of the things you two have gotten up to. Oh my God. Dean groans, the heels of his palms pressed into his eyes. He looks up stunned. I said it. I could say God. God damn it, it's good to be able to. He pauses. Wait. I never thought I'd be happy to say the word God again. He's conflicted and caught up in trying to work out how he feels. Just do me a favor. Stop calling out for God, and all of us will be happy. With one curt smile, Chuck snaps his fingers and disappears. Sam looks around their room blankly, trying to find the smallest hint of why he was sitting at the small motel table, his mobile in one hand and a piece of paper with the word God written on it. Dean rubs his temples. Dude, what the hell happened? Did we get completely wasted on something? I can't remember anything, and my head is pounding. Sam can't see any evidence of alcohol in the room. No stale scent of alcohol or sour pungent smell of either of them being sick anywhere. Thank fuck. Maybe they went out to a bar, and to take the edge off, he had a familiar slickness and dull ache in his ass that made him think that maybe they had gone out to have a few drinks, loosened the tension they'd occasionally feel build between them, and there was absolutely every possibility they'd egged each other on, as two competitive brothers do, to the point of blackout drunkenness. He had massive holes in his memory. I don't know. I must have gotten just as fucked up as you did. Which even to Sam seems unlikely, but he doesn't know what else it could have been. They just decided to stop for a layover to rest and recuperate, look for another case before moving on, but anything from last night or today was gone. He had an uneasy feeling, but neither of them were hurt. The salt lines hadn't been disturbed. The protection sigils were still untouched and clearly marked in chalk on the walls. I don't know, but gah, fucking hell, I'm wiped. Sam yawns and gets up from his spot at their motel table, stretching his arms up and arching his back, his abdomen tensing and sharp hip bones protruding obscenely. I'm gonna have a nap. Dean chews his bottom lip, momentarily forgetting about the discomfort in his head. You gonna join me? Sam smirks at him, knowing that neither of them would actually sleep. Hell yes, Dean replies, a glint in his eye confirming exactly what Sam had assumed, that they were going to be laying down, but neither would be getting any sleep. He stops, thoughtfully. Let's use the other bed, though. Give those mattress springs a workout and give this one a break, huh? Sam is about to object, but can't think of a decent reason. Maybe we should just start getting a single room. Save a bit of money and keep it free for someone actually who needs the double.